Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dream of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Dennis Melganin, Director of Franchising for Dunking Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 2005, Dunking has become America's fastest-growing, full-service dunking mobile franchise concept. And that's coming up on Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise for what's wrong one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dream of owning your own business, you can come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Doing fine, Marty, this week. How about yourself?
Good, doing well. It's
good.
Busy week, you know, as we're here into fall, and the shows just keep coming, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. Seems like
I know what you know. What I wanted to ask you before the show, Don, what are your kids going to be for Halloween?
it seems like it's changing weekly. I think my daughter, and they're six in first grade, I think she has a real nice witch costume. I think the dress lights up a little bit, and it's pretty neat. It's like a combination witch-wizard. And then he is he's a Star Wars character, a really neat costume. Yeah, yeah. He's getting into Star Wars now.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's amazing that Star Wars, I mean, you and I were into that when we were kids, I guess, you know, so it's just it's amazing that the whole thing is still here. Yeah. My son is, he's going to be one of those parades this year, you know, and the reason I ask is, you know, you mentioned a lot of times you go through these little parades that they had in school. So this will be the first year I get to attend one of these, you know, and he's going to be, he's so simple, you know, he wanted to be Diego, you know, like one of those plastic costumes, you know, that cost like probably $5 in a Target or something like that, you know, so he's pretty
simple. Halloween is big business now. I think each of my kids were invited to like three or four parties,
Halloween,
and there's a parade at school, then Halloween falls on a Sunday,
there's
a lot, so they really get to wear the costume several times.
Yeah, it's great, but it's, and you were right, you've always told me this, I mean, this is like a fun age now, you know, where he's approaching like 3 years old, you know what I mean, so we're starting to get to go to like things like that, like parades and stuff like that.
Oh, it's fun, because
they
have so much fun, so it makes it fun for you too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get to live through them again, you know, so it really is fantastic. Our last show, though, we met with, it was a great show, we met with Moe's Southwest Grill. And if you missed the show, Moe's Southwest Grill is a fast, casual concept featuring fresh Southwest fare in a fun and engaging atmosphere. They have over 400 locations. They're in 34 states and Canada. And so at Moe's, each meal is prepared right before your eyes and is accompanied by free chips and salsa, your burrito, and the Billy Baru nachos. Seems like a fun place, doesn't it? I thought it was an interesting concept. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, such a competitive market. It's amazing. We've had on some food franchisors over the last few months, and some of them have been doing very well and growing, even in a tough economy. So Mo seems like, and Steve definitely know what they're doing. He was very good at just telling the whole Mo story.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very interesting comment when we talked about, you know, what type of franchisees do you look for. And what he said, intrapreneur, is the type of person they look for. They don't want really, and a lot of franchisors have said this, pure entrepreneurs are sometimes not the best fit for a franchise system because they're maybe too creative and might want to change things around. They might not eventually be happy owning a franchise. So he looks for an intrapreneur, someone who can follow their system and all that good stuff we've always talked about over the years.
Yeah, it's always fun stuff to talk about. You talk about the different types of entrepreneurs. You know, we've had a lot of people on the show talk about those things. And, again, the entrepreneur is typically the person who has created the franchise where we call them franchisepreneurs. And, again, I don't know who gets credit for the word. I don't know where I got it from, but it was probably from one of our previous guests on the show. And but entrepreneur would certainly apply. You know, entrepreneur, we typically talk about like a corporate entrepreneur. And you can't reinvent the wheel. That's the whole thing with franchising. You know, if somebody was listening to our show for the very first time today, if you like reinventing the wheel, turn the dial, you know, or listen to something else, you know, because franchising is certainly it's a great thing, but it's not for the true entrepreneur. You know, I think you got to have a little entrepreneurial blood in you. I think you've mentioned that before.
Right.
To some extent, but you can't be that true entrepreneur, you know, where you're just constantly looking to invent things and create things. It would be very frustrating for that type of person. So I thought he did a great job in explaining that to our listeners, you know, because, again, the mission of our show is to educate people on the topic of franchise, and I think we've done that. We've done a very good job of that for, God, almost 4 years now. I can't believe we're saying that. So it is amazing. They had some great accolades, too, Don. I think I mentioned this on the show last week. It says Moe's Southwest Grill was named Top 10 Growth Chain by Restaurant Hospitality in 2007 and is a Gold Award winner of the 2008 Consumer's Choice in Chain Awards. So they had some nice accolades as well. I was mentioning at the end of the show last week, I've never been in a Moe's Southwest Grill, yet I was very familiar with them. So that says a lot if you think about it, you know, because one of the things that you're buying when you buy a franchise is sometimes that brand recognition. You know, you just recognize the name, even if you've never been in one before. So
right.
That's pretty powerful. So there was a lot of different things I liked about this franchising, from the training to, you know, the system itself. Very important.
Right.
So I thought he did a great job. You know, and again, as I would say, you know, we'll keep our eye on them. It's watched, you know, it's fun to watch and see a lot of these franchise systems that we had on the show from sometimes even like 4 years ago growing and doing very well now. You know, it's just
right.
It's fun to watch. So,
and one last thing with Moe's, they have over 400 locations. It's 34 states.
Lot,
pretty impressive.
Yeah, they are. I think they're in Canada too. You know, so
right.
It looks like they're slowly growing internationally. A lot of franchises typically, when they want that international growth, they'll, you know, go to places like Canada. You know, sometimes the UK or, you know, Mexico. So I expect good things from them. And I know we have an interesting show today too. I had a couple of people ask me. They said, you know, what's junking?
You know, my wife called me that a lot over the years. If you see our basement house, especially our garage, she's called me Junk King a lot, but no, it has nothing to do with me.
Well, it's a great name, isn't it? You know, and it's funny because a lot of times, you know, we ask, you know, the directors of franchising or, you know, whoever created the system, how did you come up with the name? You know, you used to ask that question a lot. So it is. It's a great name. My wife watches this show. It's called Hoarders, and I don't know what channel it's on. It's on one of the cable channels. But a lot of times they'll bring in a company, I think like a Junk King, sometimes like that, to get rid of all the junk in people's homes, you know. It's just amazing what some people can accumulate over the years.
You know, right.
It really is amazing. So we're going to have Dennis Morganin on the show, who's a friend to the show. We've had Dennis on the show before, and he's fantastic. Says Junk King has become America's fastest-growing full-service junk removal franchise concept, meeting the demand for affordable and dependable service to clear clutter and unwanted items from homes and also businesses. You know, I never thought about that too. You know, there's a lot of businesses out there that must have a ton of clutter.
Right.
You know, in their area. I drive by some in eastern Pennsylvania, you know, and you say, oh my God, you know.
What do people do with all that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, called Junk King, you know. So Dennis is going to talk about that today. And I just wanted to mention this is an announcement that we've been reading over the last couple of weeks, and I think it's important. And we were asked to read this for the franchise community. It says, let's unite in support of breast cancer awareness and research. Phoenix, Arizona. Once again, franchise industry professionals from WEBB, or Women Empowered by Businesses, are reaching out to get industry support to participate in the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer 3-Day 60-Mile Walk in Phoenix, Arizona, November 12th and 14th. Your birthday's around that time, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
After raising our $20,000 for breast cancer research in 2009, the Spiderweb team, the 2019 of 10 walkers, has a goal of attracting 10 or more walkers, 10 or more sponsors, and surpassing the money raised for the cause in 2009. So last year was truly remarkable. We had 25 franchisor partners reach out with enthusiasm to support our team as sponsors. And just for more information on participating in the events, you can call Lori Till at 203-405-2122, or you can also go to the website. There's a website created for this event, www.womenebb.com. We're going to have to post that up on our show page on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
For listeners as well, you know. And that's what I love about franchising is how, you know, a lot of them just come together as a community, you know, and help out with a lot of different things. So I think that's fantastic.
Right, great cause.
That's great. Yeah, I know you had some interesting articles. I wish we'd be able to get to all of them, and I know we never can, but there's some good ones that I wanted to talk about.
Well, first, there's a couple shows coming up, Marty, the Franchise and Business Opportunity Expo.
Right.
They're in Dallas this weekend, the end of the month down in Orlando, and Cincinnati has a show November 20th and 21st. So those are franchisor trade shows where the franchisor is exhibiting. People can go out and looking for the right franchise opportunity. To get the details, they can go to usfranchiseexpos.com.
Right. And for our listeners, just so you know, go prepared. Go like you're going for an interview, Don. You know, I think you and I have mentioned that in the show several times already. Instead of just, you know, kind of wandering around and going up to a booth and saying, what do you guys do? What do you guys do? Get the list beforehand, you know, and find out, you know, what you think you might be interested in. And go up to that booth and you know, shake their hand and get dressed up nice and
right.
You know, say, I'm already familiar with your franchise. You know, talk a little bit about yourself and see if there's a match there. You know, it's go prepared. You know, and I think it's okay to bring a resume or whatever
right.
it may be. I've seen it at a lot of the shows, you know, people just walk up to booths and just say, what do you guys do? What do you guys
right.
do? And the poor franchise development guys, they must go nuts.
Right, with stains on the shirts and they smell of alcohol, stains on their shirts. You know, what do you do? It's not a good first impression.
Yeah, it's not. And I say treat it as an interview, you know. Go there looking nice, presentable, professional, and they'll take you more serious. You know, it's a relationship, you know. It goes both ways. The franchisor does not have to accept you, you know, just because let's say you inherited $5 million, they still don't have to take you into their
right.
system. You know, they can be very selective as far as who they want to let in to that franchise system, and that's how it should be. So, yeah, and take advantage of those shows. I think those shows are great because they're smaller, more intimate. I'm already looking forward to next year's show in Washington because I think I missed the one last year. So,
right.
Looking forward to going this year.
Here's something, Marty, through SBSun.com. Would a franchise suit you? By Don Drummond. Each year, thousands of people decide to take the plunge and start their own business. They decide to take this route for various reasons. They may have a great new idea or a particular passion they want to pursue. They may be unhappy with their current job or career. They may want to take control of their future in order to create wealth and equity. Or they may have been a victim of the recession and no longer have a job. Whatever the reason may be, one will wonder how to go about this life-changing venture. Most successful business owners would tell you that it's not the idea that determines the success of the business, but how well the idea is executed. The potential entrepreneur will need to do a lot of research and work extremely hard in order to develop a plan that will allow them to make their idea come to fruition. However, after spending countless hours of research, what are the odds that their plan will work and the business will meet their goals and expectations? Will they have sufficient capital? How will they obtain financing if needed? Will their marketing strategies provide enough customers to buy their product or service? Because of these risks and uncertainties, many would-be business owners decide to choose franchising as an option to going it alone from scratch. And some of the reasons, so it's always good to remind people, Marty, of course, it's less risky. In general, franchises are less risky because they have a proven system that has evolved over time and a track record, just like last week's show, Mo Southwest Grill is a good example. Next is record of success. Franchise businesses give people from different backgrounds the necessary training to execute a business plan or system that has been proven and tested in the marketplace. Many people worry that if they don't have experience in this particular industry, then they won't be successful. This is absolutely not the case. Consider McDonald's, for example, which is arguably one of the most successful franchise systems of all time. Most of their franchise owners never had prior restaurant or food experience. What McDonald's did was allow people from all walks of life that had the financial resources and the desire to own and operate their own business to teach them the McDonald's operating system. While there is no guarantee of success, for those that work hard and follow the system, success usually follows most of the time. The formula for success has been replicated over and over again by companies in almost every industry.
Mm-hmm.
Good start to the article.
Industries too, Don. Yeah, it is. It's a great article. It's amazing, too. I mean, since you and I have been doing this, I mean, just being involved in franchising, not just the radio show, the industries, there's so many more industries franchising today than when you and I got involved in franchising, was it 10 years ago?
Right.
It's always amazing when you see a new industry
right.
using franchising as a method of distribution, you know, so it is fantastic.
In addition to initial training, most franchises provide ongoing support to the franchise owners. This gives the franchisees the comfort of knowing that they are in business for themselves but not by themselves. Some of the more common services provided by franchise companies is site selection assistance, corporate website and internet marketing strategies, other marketing and advertising materials that have been proven in the marketplace, group purchasing discounts on equipment, supplies, insurance, national account programs, operational support and guidance with challenges and problems, proprietary software, assistance in selling your business. Then it talks about the cost. You may be asking yourself, what is this going to cost me? So several costs that the investor will have to incur. Most franchises will charge an initial franchise fee that varies from company to company. This fee entitles you to operate and use all company trademarks and proprietary operating procedures. But the article goes on. But, you know, just a reminder of really what you're getting with the franchise system. And I think during this tough economy, probably more so than ever, someone starting up a non-franchise business, unless you have a lot of experience in the industry and have a lot of contacts and, and you know, are not, you know, and maybe couldn't afford the business in a year or two, doesn't kind of do as well as you want. I guess it depends on, you know, you have to weigh your risk factor. You have to weigh how much you're willing to spend. With, you know, franchising, of course, the risk is less, just a higher chance of approval and to be profitable quicker. But not all franchises are successful, so you really got to do your homework, take the time, and do all the stuff that we've recommended to people over the last few years.
Yeah, most definitely. It must be lonely, too. You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, as you're reading the article, Bond, is, you know, going the non-franchise route. I mean, that can be very lonely. You know, one of the things I've learned from doing the show that I've heard so frequently on the show is the sharing of best practices, you know, from other franchisees, you know, because a lot of times, whether it's at the corporate meetings or the annual meetings, or sometimes, you know, I guess the franchisees might have monthly meetings like a teleconference and things like that, just the sharing of best practices, what one franchise might have done in his particular area that worked particularly well, you know. You don't get that when you go in alone, do you? You know, it's just kind of like, you know, you try things, some of the things are going to work, some of the things are not going to work. Sometimes it's going to cost you money if it doesn't work. So when you go into a franchise, you kind of like, you know, it's a great analogy I heard once from a gentleman named Roy Hibbert, is you're joining a club, you know. You're joining this club where people are willing to share their best practices and even share what hasn't worked as well, you know. So you know what, I tried I tried these coupons, or I tried this, or I tried mobile marketing, and it didn't work, you know. So that's one of the things you get in franchising as well, and I think that's so important. I mean, amongst the dozen of things that you listed, it's really important. So I think that's great.
Here's something, Marty. The New York Times, You're the Boss, The Art of Running a Small Business by M.P. Mueller, Getting People to Care About Your Business. And it starts out, Courtesy Sweetgreen, A Random Act of Sweetness and Marketing. The enduring brands we welcome into our lives deliver two things, solutions and good feelings. In fact, we will pay more for products and services that have the ability to make us feel good about engaging with them. Creating a movement around good feelings is a great way to differentiate your business and have consumers championing your brand. This kind of starts out and reminds me of our friend who's been on the call a couple of times, who's written the books. And he's a speaker around the country. What is his name again?
Warren Gresham?
Well,
Michael,
you know, Gresham? I'm sorry?
Dr. Scott?
Yes.
Who Dr. Scott.
This sounds like something that, you know, he's probably gone over. In his bestseller, Tribes, Seth Godin, a brand himself, talks about how marketing is the act of telling stories about the things we make, stories that sell and stories that spread. He also says it takes two things to turn a group of people into a tribe, shared interest and a way to communicate. Caring is a key emotion at the center of a tribe. So how can small businesses create movements and tell those stories that pull their tribes around the campfire? Through my network of colleagues who get more than a little giddy about companies who do this well, I recently learned about Sweetgreen salad and frozen yogurt restaurants in the Washington, D.C. area. Sweetgreen was started in 2007 by three Georgetown business majors who created the company as a solution to a problem. They couldn't find places to eat around campus that were easy, healthy, and fast, so they created one. I think this is interesting because, you know, nowadays you do have to be, you know, creative. And, you know, people do want to have more than just the product or service. They want it to be a little bit of an experience. And
They want to be surprised, too, I think is what you're going to mention, too, Don. That's so important. Surprise them. You know, do something that they weren't expecting. You know, I mean, anytime a consumer goes into a store, it doesn't matter where it is, they have a certain level of expectations. You know, one of the things that we talk about, and you and I both love marketing, is to exceed those expectations, you know, surprise them, you know, give them something
right.
that maybe they weren't expecting. That they said, if you can get the customer to say, wow, you know, and you can even do that, by the way, with a franchise, you know, I mean, you can
right.
sometimes, you know, go a little outside the box, whether it's even smiling at somebody today. I mean, it just makes all the difference in the world, you know. It's
right.
I think it's the little things that count. That's a great article. Who wrote that article? I'm going to have to send that to my marketing students.
Yeah, M.P. Mueller. I'll send this over to you.
Okay.
And
this way I can I'll test my marketing students on it. So they're going to hate you, but but that's a fantastic article. So we'll have to finish that one up next week or talk about that a little more. So why don't we do this? I see our guest Dennis has called in. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Coming up in segment two, they have become America's fastest growing full-service junk removal franchise concept. We're going to be meeting with Dennis Morganin, the director of franchising for the Junk King Franchise Opportunity, coming up on Franchise Interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest-growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who want one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Dennis Mogan, the director of franchising, the Junk King Franchise Opportunity. And founded in 2005, Junk King has become America's fastest-growing full-service junk removal franchise concept. Hey, Dennis, how you doing today? Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm doing great. I appreciate being on, guys.
Oh, this is great, Dennis. And I think you know Don, don't you, Dennis? I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning.
Hey, Dennis. It's good to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on. We're excited to hear about what's happening with Junk King.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. And, yeah, well, a lot of growth. I actually just hung up with signing another franchise agreement for Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wow.
So it's been crazy. So
good job. Nice.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we've had a lot of people, Dennis, especially my wife. Her question was about Junk King. Can you give us a brief history of Junk King, how you guys got started, and a little background?
Sure. The company has been in business since 2005. Their co-founders, Mike Andriocchi and Brian Reardon, and one of the great things is that they have shown sustainable growth for the first 5 years of company operations. The company unit's based in San Mateo County, California, which is about 20 miles south of San Francisco. So that was really, they have a five-year proof of concept, you know, operating company that showed anywhere from 20 to 32% year-to-year growth. And, you know, I got involved. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary as director of franchising on October 26th. And as you guys know, my background's been working with, concepts that want to scale through, you know, business format franchising. And I'll tell you, I've never been involved with one where all cylinders are firing. It's just been an amazing run. So we actually launched the franchise last October, and we are now at 22 franchise partners who represent about 37 units, either open or soon to be open, because we're a real fast-track concept, meaning once somebody executes a franchise agreement, we generally can get them open and operating in 4 to 6 weeks. So there's not a lot of downtime.
That's great.
You know, one of the things about our system is that we're really well-structured as a true white-collar business management franchise. In fact, that's kind of how we position our concept. That we're a white-collar business management franchise that just so happens to be in what most people would consider to be kind of a blue-collar industry, the junk removal business. And, you know, people that really dig into our business model and see our Item 19 earnings claims, and which is very, very liberal, and we can discuss that a little bit later, you know, they kind of have an epiphany. You guys know that, you know, the average franchise sell is somewhere, you know, from initial inquiry to signing a franchise agreement is somewhere between, you know, 45 and 90 days when somebody makes a decision. Mm-hmm. And we're averaging 23 days right now. So it's been amazing.
Fantastic. That's great. Well,
tell us, Dennis, about just, you know, the Junk King franchise system to describe the service, what it does, and why investors are showing interest in it.
Well, I think that a lot of times investors see it, you know, through kind of their own consumer eyes, meaning they get it pretty quickly. You know, one of the unique things about our business model is that as much as we're in the junk removal industry, we're in the recycling industry. And that's, you know, that's one of the great attractions to our model. There's a lot of people out there who are looking at, you know, quality of business, quality of life, and, you know, what do I want to do with my next, you know, in my next career, and if that's business ownership and a franchise, they want, you know, they want that good feel part of it. And the green side of our business model is really, really critical to that. You know, we recycle 60% of everything that we remove from job sites. So where a consumer may have an option between us and one of our competitors, and our competitors generally recycle less than 5%, you know, I like to call it green guilt. You know, consumers love it, that the fact that we recycle 60% of everything we remove from job sites and it's not going into the landfill. So that creates a very, very unique, you know, business model. Just from, you know, green isn't going away. The recycling industry is just growing leaps and bounds. So, yeah, so our model's really four revenue streams also. We're focused on business to consumer, and we're a true advertising model. And what I mean by that is when we roll into a new market territory, you know, we have an initial spend in that market on TV, radio, direct mail, online, print, you name it. We roll in and brand junking overnight in that market. So we're really good at getting our franchisees from red to black very, very quickly because we are a true advertising model. And that's a big differentiator because most of the junk removal companies are kind of a guerrilla marketing model, if you will. And then that's great. That's great. But in our model, we're a true advertising model, and that's how we're able to go in and take market share very, very quickly.
Do you have any numbers, Dennis, on the industry?
Any numbers? No, I mean, that's one of the other interesting things about why we think a lot of people have chosen, not just us, but chosen the junk removal industry and the recycling industry because it's a very young vertical. You know, it's not another hamburger franchise, if you will. This is a very immature industry. I mean, even the largest company in this space, who we all know who that is, really only has about a 2-2.5% national brand recognition rate. So how big is the pie? We don't even know yet. We just know that we have shown sustainable growth at our company unit, the one based in San Mateo County, year to year. We're actually up in this year, 2009, through the first three quarters, up 28% from in 2010 from 2009. So we just continue to grow and grow and grow, and we're finding that as we roll into new markets. I think we have about 21 units open right now. You know, nobody's struggling out the door. I mean, this is very, very needed service, if you will. And as I go back to that business-to-consumer side, that's about 50 to 55% of our business. And then there's B2B, business-to-business, which would be realtors, property managers, the construction trades, roofers, contractors. That's about 30, 35% of our gross revenue. And then our third revenue stream is business-to-government. Federal, state, local, school districts, colleges, universities. If you can envision kind of dorm move-outs at colleges, they need a service provider to help with that because, I mean, I actually have a daughter at UC Santa Barbara, and I know I cleaned her dorm room out, and I would have been charged had I not done it. In the dorm, you know, the colleges are looking for, you know, service providers for that. So, and then the fourth, of course, is our recycling because recycling in our business model, instead of being a cost of sales, is actually an additional revenue stream to us. And it creates the efficiency at the unit level where it allows us to have the highest revenue per truck because of those recycling activities and then the highest margins in the industry. So it's a really, really unique and interesting business model.
Yeah, I can only imagine the financials. I'm thinking as you're talking about this, Dennis, I mean, like your gross, you know, margin percentage and cost of goods sold, I mean, it must be very attractive when you look at a financial statement for this type of model, and I can understand why, what the attraction is towards junking, and when someone looks at that with this item 19, we say, wow, this makes a lot of sense. I didn't think about the recycled stream, so you can say. So I think that's incredible.
Yeah, you know, and that recycling part is important for three reasons. First is it's our branding strategy. So every message that comes out from us in terms of advertising or marketing our messaging leads with that we're the greenest company in the U.S. Again, going back to that kind of green guilt. So that's the first one. The second one, again, is that it's a revenue stream versus being a cost of sales to us, because recyclers actually come to us and remove the recyclables from our warehouses and then pay us for it. So we kind of double-end the deal, if you will. We're paid to remove it from job sites. But the third reason is the critical part of the business model. If you think about a truck that goes out, a junking truck, and you think about one of our competitors, when their trucks reach capacity, they go to the landfill, so their day is over. They can't, they've got labor costs, fuel costs, dump fees, and opportunity loss. Mm-hmm. Our truck goes back to the warehouse, offloads 60%, and goes back out and does more jobs. So that recycling component is really, really critical in our model. And, we pay high attention to that. We're actually working with Green Star, which is the largest recycler in the U.S., to even create better efficiencies at our unit level in terms of the recycling side, because that's just such a critical part of our model.
Mm. Did you want to talk more, Dennis, about green efforts, and is it how financially viable for the franchisees going that route?
Sure. I'll give you an example of some of the progressive things that we're doing at Junk King. We are actually working with the Redding Group. The Redding Group is the largest custom truck manufacturer in the U.S., six manufacturing facilities across the U.S. They're our primary builder of our trucks, which are completely custom built. They're actually building us a composite box that goes on the chassis of our diesel Mitsubishi Isuzu trucks. That's made of 20%, or it's 20% composite material, so it's 20% lighter than the metals. So our trucks are actually going to be considered green. Our first test truck is going to be on the road, and we're going to beta that truck in San Mateo County. And so everything that we do, and if you think about, well, who cares about a lighter truck? Well, less fuel costs, larger capacity in terms of weight, all those efficiencies associated with the business model, and then, of course, being a green company. So, everything we do is targeted highly at, at creating the efficiencies, utilizing recycling, and leading with being the greenest company in our industry. And then, again, if you look at a junk removal company that does not recycle and one that does heavily, such as Junk King, margins are just, polar opposite in terms of if you look at the bottom line. And, again, that's all disclosed in our Item 19, in our franchise disclosure document.
I was at a franchise show. Probably, Dennis, we've known each other a while. Been to some of the franchise shows, and you actually had one of your trucks inside the trade show, which I thought was great to do. Really nice, red and gold color, really impressive.
Yeah, our trucks, that was the West Coast franchise show last fall in Los Angeles, and what's interesting about those trucks is, again, our competitors all have 12-cubic-yard trucks. We have 18-cubic-yard trucks, so our trucks are substantially larger, so they're able to stay on the road longer also in terms of that capacity side. Again, if you look at our model, or you look at our industry, it feels blue collar, and it really, our model is white collar. Really, it's interesting, you look at the backgrounds of our first, 20-something franchise partners, and, we've got two PhDs, six MBAs, we've got the ex-director of sales from an internet software company. We've got a senior vice president from Verizon. We've got a PhD consultant to the Environmental Protection Agency. We have an ex-shipping executive out of Texas. We've got a collective group of franchise partners that's very, very impressive. And we just sold a master area development to an ex-Ford executive. 17 years at Ford, ran a $5 billion, that's with a B, business unit at Ford. So we've got a very, very sophisticated group of franchise partners that are coming forward. And, if you look at that as a collective group of franchisees, it's a real, real strong team. And we're real excited about that. We went to market seeking those types of partners, and they've, not only have we found them, they're seeking us out now. we're averaging about 25 to 30 prospective franchise leads a day right now. So it's just been on fire.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a good point you brought up. One of our next questions, how do you attract entrepreneurs to your type of business? But people see that there's a business that can make money, and they're managing people, not doing the work themselves. I can certainly see why you're getting that quality of business person.
Well, and exactly. And, a lot of times if they're, if they're in corporate America and they're being downsized and, they have to look at replacing X amount of, income, and once we've had a conversation with them and once we put them in disclosure and they're able to actually see the item 19 and they see the performance of our proof of concept model, which is the San Mateo County unit, we show, net profit, like in 08 of $192,000, 2009, $254,000, and 2010, it's going to break over $300,000. And again, we can speak to that because it's in our disclosure documents. We're very, very liberal in terms of allowing and showing our franchisees what our historical performance has been. I think it's a critical part of the model, and people get pretty excited once they see that.
I was just going to mention, Dennis,
they probably want it.
Yeah, Marty, go ahead.
You think, Don? I was going to say, when the accountants look at it, because we always recommend to our listeners, to show the financials to, a franchise attorney or an accountant. And I suspect when an accountant sees that type of financial business model, it must be just very appealing, I can only imagine.
It is.
Attracting people in the business community.
Right. And I end up doing a lot of secondary interviews with accountants, CPAs, on behalf of prospective franchisees as we review the item 19. Because, again, the margins are substantial and, but again, we show you all, audited financial information. It's all there. People just have to believe, can they replicate that model, within their own geography? And I think we're open in 11 states now also. That was another thing that was interesting. And remember, we sold our first franchise January 2nd of this year. So it's been, I keep using the term, but it's been amazing. It's
some nice growth, yeah. I was just thinking, can't franchisees have a kind of a side business with other income streams? Sometimes people throw out some pretty good junk. It must be tempting for them to want to hold on to some stuff, eventually sell it.
Well, that's an interesting part of the business. Yeah, it's something about 15% of what we remove is actually not junk. It's valuable. It's whatever level that means, and that could be antiques. We just cleaned out in Sacramento, California. Our franchisee there cleaned out a CVS pharmacy. Of all their summer stuff, like all the swimming pool stuff, all that. I mean, it had to have had a value of at least $10,000 to $15,000 retail, and they just wanted to get rid of it. They weren't going to inventory it and bring it back for the next year. What we tend to do is we're a big charity company, so what we tend to do is donate the stuff that has value to it. We, in the San Francisco Bay Area, Boys and Girls Club is one of our charities, and so we'll donate all those items to them and allow them to do whatever they do to create cash for that charitable organization. And it's kind of a good feel thing, and it serves everybody well.
It's fantastic when you can make money and feel good at the end of the day. It seems like that feel-good type of franchise opportunity where you've done something positive at the end of the day. So, yeah, go ahead, Don.
Exactly.
No, I was just going to say it's good sometimes I ask these off-the-wall questions and led to a good answer with the charity part.
Dennis, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, that'd be fantastic. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchise for the voice of Wall. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, you can come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Dennis Malganis, Director of Franchising for the Junk King Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 2005, Junk King has become America's fastest-growing, full-service junk removal franchise concept. So, Don, I think you're up.
Hey, Dennis, maybe tell us how the training process is with new franchisees.
Sure. When someone signs, we do a lot of pre-training before they show up in California for at our corporate office for a week-long of training. So we do a lot of homework, if you will, get them pre-trained as much as possible. Then when they'll attend a training program Monday through Friday in San Carlos, California, which is in San Mateo County. Then when they go back, one of our staff members on grand opening, we're there for a week with them again. So they really get 2 weeks of, you know, face-to-face training and then also all the pre-training before they ever come to the classroom training, if you will, in
right.
San Carlos, California. So.
Good.
Yeah, I like that pre-training aspect too, Dennis. I think that's important. You know, this way, by the time they get there for the official training, you know, they'll have questions and things like that, but they have at least a base or knowledge. I think it provides for more effective learning, so I think it's great that you guys do that.
Well, there's that, absolutely. And then there's the other side. As soon as somebody signs, they want to be busy, right? And if they have downtime, what you want to do is take advantage of that
right.
window of time because
that's
the anxiousness
true.
Starts. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What's
a typical day like
for
a franchisee? So you can say, if there is such a thing anyway, Dennis.
Well, there is in terms of an operational standpoint. So, you know, we have different types of ownership groups. So we really have three types of owners. We have an owner who is going to be the general manager and run the day-to-day of their business. So, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. They're meeting their staff. Each truck has a driver and a navigator on it. We actually have a national call center that provides all of the administrative functions for our franchise partners. So we do all the intake on a toll-free number. We schedule the call. We route the call. We have proprietary software that we built. So our franchise partners can be traveling. They could be anywhere in the world as long as they have access to a web browser. They know everything that's going on in their business, a complete snapshot, revenue for the day, jobs for the day. All our trucks have GPS on them so they can track their trucks. So we really have created this, again, this business management franchise. So some of our franchisees are their own general managers, so they're running that day-to-day of the business. One of their big roles and responsibilities is obviously managing what happens out in the field, but it's also driving the advertising, the direct marketing, because, again, we're a true advertising model and marketing model. So in that situation, then we have, like, our Fairfax County, Virginia franchisee. You know, he has a very lucrative consulting business, and he has a general manager that runs the day-to-day of his business. So he's much more of a passive owner. He's highly involved, but he's not at the office or at the warehouse. He's running the day-to-day of his business. He actually hired an ex-Marine who did two tours of duty in Iraq, who is his GM, who runs the day-to-day of his business, and he's one of our most successful franchise partners. It's just has an amazing ride in that greater D.C. market. He's doing phenomenally well.
That's great.
What advice, Dennis, would you give, you being in franchising for a while and business, you're probably can really give nice advice to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise?
Well, you know, there's a number of reasons why people, you know, seek self-employment, whether it's a franchise or whether it's, you know, buying an existing business or starting something on their own. And, you know, generally that's an economic statement for most people. But, you know, there's got to be the balance. I always tell people that you want to look at the lifestyle. You know, if you have a family or you know, whatever that means to you, the economic side, of course, is critically important. But there's that whole lifestyle decision, you know, are you somebody that wants a business that requires you to be social and in a retail environment, or do you want a business that's, where you're an extroverted personality and you do want to use those skills to be able to market and advertise, and then, you know, do you mind working 7 days a week, or are you looking, what's that lifestyle? How's that going to affect you and personally? And that's just as critical, you know, because there's so many different types of business ownership, as we all know, that I think that's one of the things that people miss. And then sometimes they go forward with a business, and then, you know, maybe it meets their economic goals, but it doesn't meet their lifestyle goals. And you know, I tell people, you know, as I talk to people with junking, I say, listen, I mean, you know, we consider ourselves a lifestyle business, meaning it's if you coach your kid's soccer team and you know, or you like to travel, we're well set up for that. We're not a, you know, 7-day-a-week, 14-hour-day business. We're a, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, 8 to 4:30, and you can kind of turn your business off at night and take care of your family or whatever that means for you. So lifestyle, I think, is something that people miss. They get so focused on the economic gain versus the lifestyle, if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I think that's so important. Yeah. Dennis, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Is there any, like, websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
Sure. If they were looking to, go to www.junk-king.com, and then they also can call 1-800-995-5865 and ask for me. And probably get a message because I'm on the phone all the time, but I'll get back to people.
Well, that's always a good sign, too, though. So that's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Dennis. You're always a fantastic guest. And we'd love to, you know, follow you guys and have you guys come back next year as you guys continue to grow.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Would love to. And again, appreciate it, you guys. Great show.
Thanks a lot, Dennis. Great job.
Dennis, have a great day today.
It's a great show, Ron. Yeah, nice second time we've had Dennis on, and we've never had this specific franchise category on, and it's always interesting to hear about this particular industry.
Yeah, I love this business model. I mean, from a financial standpoint, you know, especially, it's just, it's amazing. I can see why so many, like, other people are drawn to it, you know. So it's, that's fantastic. I definitely like to follow these guys and have them back. So you did a great job on segment one, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, and I'll be speaking to you next week, Don.
Sounds great. Have a good day, Marty.
Have a great day, everyone. Thank you. Take care, everyone.